July 3rd. Ladies and gentlemen, Daryl's studio is finally done. So, of course, we're having a 4th of July cookout to celebrate. It was Daryl's idea, and at first I wasn't all that enthusiastic. Don't I have enough to do already without the planning and cooking and cleaning up, before and after, that any kind of dinner gathering entails? But then Daryl said that he would be in charge of the shopping and the cooking, and the guys from his men's club would take care of the cleanup afterward. He would make sure that the house was reasonably clean beforehand. What could I say besides okay? Now, it has to be said that Daryl and I have different ideas about what reasonably clean means. While my darling husband is a meticulous dresser who would never leave the house unwashed, unpressed, or unshaven, when it comes to his home environs, his standards are less exacting, less neat as a pin. Which means I spent this morning cleaning up after Daryl's cleaning up. I guess I could feel resentful about it, but the downstairs has needed a thorough cleaning for a while now. As I scrubbed the bathroom sink, I thought fondly of our former house cleaner, Marcia, who came every other week when Daryl and I were both working. Like anybody in any field, Marcia had her strengths and weaknesses. She had no interest in moving furniture in order to vacuum a room more thoroughly, nor did she care much about dusting windowsills or baseboards. But man, did that woman make a bathroom sparkle. She scrubbed tubs with the best of them, polished faucets and fixtures within an inch of their lives, and made toilets look as if they'd just arrived from the factory. She kept cleaning for us for a short while after I retired, but 6 months in, she gave notice. "I can't clean a clean house," she explained. "It goes against my principles." At the time, I was okay with her leaving, as much as I liked Marcia personally and thought she did a great job. I had time now to do my own cleaning, and it seemed like a waste of money to pay someone else to take care of the house. What I failed to account for is that I'd soon be spending more and more time in my sewing room. When I was teaching, I always found time to quilt here and there and would sneak away for a weekend retreat when Kate and Sam got a little older and less chaotic. And of course, I spent lots of time during the summer at my Bernina. But quilting was definitely not my highest priority, or even my second or third highest priority, no matter how much I loved it. But once I settled into my retirement and got into a groove, I was quilting all the time and not giving much attention to the cleaning, other than doing what was necessary for the general health and happiness of the household. The dishes were always done and the counters kept clean, but sometimes weeks would go by without the kitchen floor getting a good mopping. I kept our bedroom dusted and vacuumed, but the rest of the upstairs was mostly neglected unless we had company coming to stay. And that's been the case now for several years. I don't think anyone would come into our house and consider calling the health department. It's not that bad. But let's just say Daryl and I have gotten comfortable with a bit of a mess, a modicum of clutter. And let's just say that Daryl is twice as comfortable as I am. So yes, I spent today getting into the crevices and corners, cleaning baseboards and under the toilet rims, where all the really gross mildew hangs out. As I sit in the living room writing this, I find myself glancing up from time to time, just to enjoy how bright and shiny and dust-free everything is. And I'm wondering if I still have Marcia's number somewhere, because this won't last for long, and I love having a clean house so much. Maybe she could come once a month. Maybe just do the bathrooms and mop the floors. Okay, I need to go make deviled eggs, my summer specialty, for tomorrow. More soon. July 4th. It's late. I've had wine. 2 glasses, maybe 2.5, possibly 3. A few notes to follow up on later. 1. Abby took over the grill tonight when it was clear Daryl was having too much fun giving tours of the studio to actually cook. 2. Abby, surprisingly good at grilling. 3. Abby, especially good at grilling in high heels and cocktail attire. 4. Abby, wildly overdressed for a cookout. 5. Jessica mad at Sam, but I don't know why. 6. Abby and Steve the plumber seem to have hit it off. 6.5. Maybe if they get married, Steve the P will give us a discount. 7. I am totally jealous of Daryl's studio. 8. There. I said it. 9. More later. July 22nd. July is my least favorite month, and I, for one, can't wait to watch it go out the back door. Give me the dog days of August. Give me September's hints of fall and October's glorious displays of autumnal foliage. But July is all humidity and waterlogged, chlorinated children. July is grandchildren who have had enough of summer and grandparents who have possibly had almost enough of their grandchildren. Ask me how I know. It's been a long month, diary, and I don't know how interested I am in rehashing the details. Suffice to say that Tyler got kicked out of summer camp. There's some controversy around why he got kicked out of summer camp. Something to do with his new life as a tattoo artist. Apparently, the other kids loved his work and were lining up during snack break for Tyler to draw on their arms with Sharpies that he'd smuggled in from home. This did not go over well with the camp management, nor the kids' parents, nor did Tyler's new habit of making up words that weren't profane and yet had the sound of profanity about them. That didn't go over well either. This is why Jessica is mad at Sam, by the way. Sam was the one who turned Tyler onto the art of making up fake bad words and phrases. It's a long story, apparently. Something that Sam saw as some harmless father-son fun. This summer has been all about Sam spending time with each of the boys separately, bonding with them in different ways. With Taylor, it's been all about learning how to draw porcupines. Tyler got the naughty words that aren't really naughty words tutorials. Sam says it's because Tyler's always had a way with language, Jessica told me when she was giving me the scoop on the boys' day camp woes. He started out this summer reading a lot of kids' poetry to Tyler, fun, silly stuff. And then they got on this word-making kick, and that turned into the fake naughty word thing. Tyler's 4. Of course he loved it. But now I've got 2 kids and no camp and no vacation time. I didn't say this to Jessica, but I don't think it's fair that Taylor got kicked out of camp too. I fear this is going to be the story of his life. The quiet twin who pays for the sins of his rowdy brother. Of course, Daryl and I volunteered to help out as much as we could with the boys, and so we've spent the last few weeks at the pool and the playground. We take turns with the boys, actually. I've got my various meetings, and Daryl has a studio, which is turning into his salon, in the old school meaning of the word, a gathering place for men of the cloth, which is what they call themselves, Daryl and his male quilting buddies. Men of the cloth. They think it's hilarious. And, okay, it's funny, but the studio is definitely taking on a no girls allowed vibe. Maybe I'm overreacting. The fact is, I'm hot and sweaty and way too busy. And I'm afraid that Tyler is going to get himself and Taylor kicked out of preschool come August. I realize writing this that I haven't even mentioned my darling Elise, who turns 1 in 6 weeks and is walking and talking. She calls me Grammy, like the boys do, and she calls Abby Grabba, which Abby hates and everyone else thinks is hilarious. Abby is in charge of Alyssa's birthday party in September. I think I better go dust off my ball gown. This will be the fanciest, most absurd first birthday party in the history of first birthday parties. Honestly, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I bet it's going to be catered and champagne will be served. It will be a marvelous way to finish up summer and say hello to fall. I can't wait. August 7th. I'm starting to experience my annual burst of back-to-school energy. It's hit me a little early this year, maybe because I'm more ready than ever for summer to be over. The boys start preschool next week, which all of us are looking forward to. Us being me, Daryl, Sam, Jessica, and yes, even Abby, who's been putting in more grabba time than ever before, and definitely more than she cares to. Diary, please note, Taylor and Tyler are wonderful boys. They are delightful, but they have so much energy. The good news, I told Sheila this morning at Linway's, is that I've lost 3 pounds in the last month. Which means you can eat an extra donut this morning, Sheila replied. You don't want to get too thin, after all. A woman my age needs some padding, I agreed as I looked over our pastry platter. And those apple cider donuts do look good, even if it's a little early in the season for that flavor combo. Sheila frowned. It's like fall is the new Christmas. They've got the pumpkin spice candles on sale at Kohl's already. But August is still summer, and even if you hate summer, you've got to make it through to the bitter end before you start pulling out the pumpkin spice. What's the best candle scent for August? I mused as I set a Bavarian cream donut on my plate. Chlorinated swim trunks? Almost empty sunscreen bottle? Remember when we called it suntan oil? Sheila asked, matching my Bavarian cream donut and upping it with a glazed donut. I'm happy to say she's decided that Tom loves her exactly the way she is, and therefore she can eat whatever the heck she wants. Well, mostly. She does avoid most fried foods and red meat, just to be on the safe side, she says, as well as to leave more room for the baked goods. I do remember suntan oil, I said, holding out my arm. So do my many worrisome freckles, as well as my alligator hide skin. Your skin looks great, Marnie, Sheila protested. Although, yeah, that freckle near your wrist is concerning. My dermatologist checked it out on my last visit, and she says it's fine. For now. Sheila nodded. They can morph overnight. Oh, I wanted to show you something, I said, reaching for my purse. I bought the cutest little pencil case at Fine and Dandy. It reminds me of one I had as a kid. Is it that time of year again? Usually you wait until mid-August before you start stocking up on school supplies you don't actually need. It's the humidity, I told her. I'm hoping if I buy enough pencil boxes and Big Chief writing pads that the air's moisture content will drop by half. Sheila examined the darling little tin box I'd handed her and smiled. Very sweet. And I love seeing you in this mood. I just hate it when you crash and burn after you realize that fall doesn't really start for another 6 weeks, at least. Oh, I'm sure I'll crash and burn before that. Don't forget, I'm on the quilt show committee. How's that going? Sheila asked, taking a sip of her coffee.
It's so weird that it's going to be in the fall this year. But I'm glad. Too many people are on vacation when we have it in June. I bet we'll get twice as many people at a September show.
It's also weird that it's going to be in the Ag Extension building instead of building number 5, I said. I wonder if that will cut down on foot traffic.
Maybe we'll get more farmers, Sheila mused, and or cows. Seriously, I like that space. Remember that year in high school that we did 4-H and went to meetings out there? Why did we sign up for 4-H in the first place?
Because we were 15 and some really cute boys were in 4-H.
Rustic boys, Sheila nodded dreamily. Boys with biceps.
And pickup trucks, I added, which at the time we thought were really cool. Why was that?
John Denver, Sheila said. Country roads, take me home. Remember how we wore overalls back then? I wonder if overalls will ever really come back into style. It was so handy to have all of those pockets.
The show is September 20th through the 22nd this year, which does seem strange after so many years of having the quilt show in June. We haven't gotten to the fun part yet, which won't happen until we start hanging the quilts and figuring out what should go where. I think I've recovered from last year's debacle, my little modern quilt in the back corner, but I have to admit that one reason I agreed to be on the show committee is to make sure that doesn't happen again this year. Even though my entry is a traditional quilt, I don't trust Marianne Knight not to hide it under some feed sacks in the custodian's office.
Did I tell you I'm finally working on a quilt? Sheila asked as she handed back my pencil box. I mean, a quilt that I actually plan to finish. I'm making it for Tom for Christmas. It's not too early in our relationship to make him a quilt, is it?
By Christmas, you'll have been seeing each other for almost a year, I pointed out. By any standard, that's a quilt-worthy length of time.
I was tempted to make him one at 6 months, but that seemed too early, Sheila admitted. A year seems about right.
Speaking of making quilts for our boyfriends, when was the last time you made Daryl a quilt? I thought about it. I can't remember, to be honest. Maybe 10 years ago?
Well, it's time for a new one, don't you think?
I don't know. It's weird now that Daryl's making quilts. Is giving him a quilt like carrying coals to Newcastle?
A quilt that someone else makes for you is always special, Sheila said, especially if you make quilts. You know how much time and effort goes into it.
I leaned back and pondered. You know, that's not a bad idea. Except for the fact that I've sort of pledged never to make a Christmas present quilt ever again. But if I started now, I could have it finished by Halloween. Of course, the other thing about giving a quilt to a quilter is that they know where to look for your mistakes. Sheila reached across the table to pat my arm.
Well, it's a good thing you never make any mistakes then.
We both laughed. And then laughed a little harder. And then we were hooting. The waitress came over to our table with the water pitcher, her expression a mix of worry and irritation. You gals doing okay?
Just a little quilty humor, Sheila told her. Sorry, we'll keep it down.
The waitress nodded. Thanks. The guys at the counter were getting concerned. She pointed to a row of burly-looking men drinking coffee and watching the line cook scrambling eggs on the grill. She leaned closer and whispered,
I think happy women make him nervous.
And with that, Sheila and I started laughing so hard that we had to leave. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.